Okay, good morning. Welcome back, everybody. Shavua Tov and Chodesh Tov. Welcome back to our virtual base medrash, 5 times for Rockway Learning, virtually, as we are, I believe, in week 7 of the lockdown. So I want to continue our learning about Rabbi Akiva. Last week we spoke about Rabbi Akiva and the personal korban that he witnessed in terms of the loss of his Talmidim. We looked at the Gemara, we looked at the fascinating Medrash, and how he was able to recover and rebuild. And even if the new worlds weren't as beautiful as we quote of Soloveitchik, that was then, this is now. We must look forward, we must move ahead. I'm going to continue the topic of speaking about the life and the times of Rabbi Akiva and the lessons that we learn from Rabbi Akiva. I also, with a ode to, if you will, Yom HaAtzmaut, which is this week, Yom HaZikaron, followed by Yom HaAtzmaut. So I would like to intertwine these topics during the duration of today's shir. And this week's parsha, actually, in Parshas Achrimos, the first of the parshas, Achrimos Kedoshim, it's a double parsha this week. So towards the end of the parsha, we read in Parak Yud Ches of Vayikra, Pasuk Chof Dalet, Al Titamu B'chol Eila, Ki B'chol Eila Nitmu Hagoy Masher Ani Mishalach Mipnechem. Do not make yourselves impure through all of these forbidden sexual relationships, because through all these forbidden relationships, the nations who were there before you made themselves impure, and I am sending them away. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chof He, in Vayikra, Vati Tama Ha'aretz, and the land became defiled. Ve'efkot Avana Aleha, and I will, one second please, visited its sin upon it. Vataki Ha'aretz Es Yoshver, and the land spit out or vomited its inhabitants, and therefore you should guard my chukim and my mishpat, and you should not do all these abominations. So the Ramban has a very lengthy and beautiful piece on these psukim. Again, this is right at the end of Parshas Achrimos. After the Torah has told us about arayos and what is forbidden and all kinds of personal intimate relationships that are forbidden to the Torah observant Jew, the psukim say that if you engage in these abominable behaviors, the land will become tame, the land itself will become tame, and the land will spit you out. So the Ramban asks on these psukim, very lengthy Ramban, very, very beautiful Ramban, and he said these are not mitzvos atulios ba'aretz. We're not talking about land-dependent mitzvos. It's not Shemitah, it's not Yovel, it's not Reishis Bikurim, it's not Pe'a Leket and Shechacha. What does this have to do with spitting out the land, will spit out the inhabitants who engage in forbidden relationships? Why? What's the connection between engaging in forbidden relationships in Eretz Yisrael and the land spitting out its inhabitants? So the Ramban teaches that Eretz Yisrael is not like all other lands. All other lands have a sar, a shofet, some sort of heavenly officer, if you will, some sort of heavenly superpower, if you want to translate it as such, over the land. So there is the land and its inhabitants. There is the sar, the heavenly officer over that land, and then there's the Ribono Shel Olam over that officer. But between Eretz Yisrael and its inhabitants and Shemaim, it is a direct line, a direct kav between the people and the Ribono Shel Olam. There is no intermediary, there is no officer, there is no heavenly constellation that governs the going ons in Eretz Yisrael. It is only a direct line between us, the land, and the Ribono Shel Olam. The Pasuk says in the book of Devarim so beautifully in Perek Yud Aleph that Eretz Yisrael is not like all other lands. Eretz Yisrael is a land. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha B'Meireishis Hashana Vad Achrishana. The pasuk tells us in Devarim so beautifully, Perek Yud Aleph, I believe it's pasuk Yud Beis, I could be wrong, that Eretz Yisrael is a land that is not like all other lands. The eyes of God seek out Eretz Yisrael. His eyes are always upon the land, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. It ties in very beautifully with the Ramban to Parshas Achrimos, where the Ramban says there is no heavenly constellation, there is no officer, there is no heavenly intermediary between Eretz Yisrael and Shamayim. All other lands, Australia, Canada, the United States of America, Rahman al-Atsan, where we are today, there is some sort of heavenly being or constellation over that land that governs the goings on, so to speak. Not so Eretz Yisrael. It is a direct land, a direct connection, a direct kav between the land, the people living upon the land, and God. And therefore, when the people engage in sin upon the land of Israel actually becomes impure. It becomes defiled, not like other lands, because the hashkacha pratis over Eretz Yisrael is so astute and so acute, it's felt in such a visceral way because it is under the direct jurisdiction of the Ribono Shel Olam. If we engage in forbidden behavior, the land will actually vomit us out, spit us out. And that is why, after listing forbidden arayos, the Torah says, do not engage in these behaviors. If you engage in these behaviors, the land will vomit you out, just like it spit out the nations who lived there before. There is such a direct connection between us and the Ribono Shel Olam. Some of you here may be in Eretz Yisrael. You may be Zocha that you are in Eretz Yisrael. Most of us, I surmise, are not in Eretz Yisrael. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you feel that connection with the Ribbon Shalom in such a different way than you feel it here. We observe Torah mitzvos here. Ramban even says in there that we observe Torah mitzvos so that we do not become rusty, so that when we return to the land, we know what to do. He says, "Kol mi shadar b'chutz arts doma l'misha ein lo eloha." Whoever lives in chutz arts, outside the land, it's as if he does not have a God. What do you mean it's as if? Because there is some other power over the lands of chutz arts that are not relevant, not shayach in Eretz Yisrael, and you feel it. You just, mamish, when you get off the plane, when you land in Eretz Yisrael, when you walk the streets, you could be doing the same mundane activity that you're doing here, and you just feel so different in Eretz Yisrael. Every Dalet Amos is walking a mitzvah, and you feel the Shechina, you feel the Hasharas Shechina, you feel the Hashgacha Pratis in such a different way than you feel it in Chutz La'aretz. The Pasuk at the end of Vayikra tells us, I'm in Bechukosai now. Bechukosai is a terrible klalos that will befall the people if we walk with Hashem Bekeri, if we walk casually with God, which is a whole shir in and of itself. What exactly is Keri? But walking with God with a sense of coldness, kar, with a sense of casualness. So the Pasuk says in Perachov Vav, I'm now moving to the end of Vayikra, okay? Bechukosai, which is the last parasha. And the Pasuk says in chapter 26, verse 32, Bechukosai, Perachov Vav, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vahashi. God says that the land will be desolate when we are kicked out, when the klalos, when the curses befall us, terrible curses that we should never know, and the land will remain desolate. Not only will the land remain desolate, but the Ribbono Shel Olam says our enemies who dwell upon the land will find desolation in the land. Okay, so this is amongst the klalos. So what does that mean? The land will remain desolate. I understand it's a klal that will be bereft. It will be bereft of Bnei Israel. The people will not be in the land. During almost 2,000 years of galus, the land was bereft of her children. Although avda tikvatenu, a tikva bat shnat alpayim liot am chafshi ve'artzenu be'aretzion Yerushalayim. Every day in the lands of our galus, Xeris tat v'tacht, 1648-1649, hundreds of thousands of Jews were murdered through all the pogroms, through the Spanish Inquisition, the hidden Jews who tried their best to keep Torah and mitzvos, communist Russia, the Nazis who marched from Vizichom, last week was Yom HaShoah. We longed for the land, and every day in our tefillos we say, Rishalayim Ircha, Barachim Tashuv, Sim Shalom. And the Pasuk says, V'hashimosi ani es ha'aretz. The Ribbono Shel Olam makes a promise in the Klalos that he will make the land desolate. And then the Pasuk says, V'shamamu Allah oyvechem hayoshvim ba'agan. I'm in Vayikra Perichah Vav, Pasuk Lamed Beis, 26:32 in Vayikra. What does it mean that the enemies upon the land will find desolation? So Rashi says to the Chumash, I'm quoting Rashi, Zomi de tovali, so you should know that in every curse there's a silver lining. This is a blessing for Israel. What do you mean, Zomi de tovali, so it's a blessing for Israel that the land will remain desolate? The second half is a blessing for Israel. Why? Shelo yimtu ha'oivim nachas ruach ba'artza. Rashi tells us that the second half of this pasuk is actually a blessing for Israel. How so? That the enemies who inhabit the land, when we are not zocha to be there, because of our sins, we have been exiled from the land. We are far away because of our sins. Nevertheless, the enemies who inhabit the land will not find nachas ruach. How would we translate nachas ruach? Zo mida tov l'Israel. This is good blessing for Israel. Shelo yimtu ha'ayvim nachas ruach ba'artzam. When the enemy inhabits the land, when the Cossacks come into the land, and when the Inquisition comes into the land, and when the Crusaders come into the land, and they want to liberate the land, and bring Christianity to the land, bring Muslim Brotherhood to the land, they will not find nachas ruach. Contentment. Satiation. They will not find success in the land. Because Eretz Yisrael, if the Jew is not in Eretz Yisrael will not yield herself. She is a special land. Remember, we began with the Ramban to Parshas Achrei Mos, 18:24 through 25. It's worth it. Kedai to look up the Ramban. It's very lengthy, but there is a direct connection between God and Eretz Yisrael, and the Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, unlike the connection between the Ribbono Shel Olam when we are outside of the land. And here we see that Hashem promises that if we can't be there, our enemies will not find contentment or success in the land. I'm going back to quote, not going back. I am quoting. Last week I quoted a beautiful piece from the Rav on Bereshis. I'm now going to quote Rav Soloveitchik. V'hashimosi ani es mikdashechem. I will destroy, I will lay desolate your holy places. But nevertheless, v'hashimosi ani es ha'aretz. When the land is desolate, the enemies will also not find contentment in the land. So Rav Soloveitchik says, the land of Israel cannot be built just by any group or any people. Only the Jewish people possess the capacity to transform it into a settled land. Only the Jewish people possess the capacity to make the desolate waste bloom. The divine promise became a miraculous fact in the history of the land of Israel during various periods. Again, it's Yom HaTzimut this week, and all of us have been zocha to benefit from the bracha of Medina Yisrael. Some of us more personally, some of us less personally, some of us frequent and visit Eretz Yisrael and Medina Yisrael more often, some of us less often. We have been zocha to walk the streets. We have been zocha to see the redemption. We have been zocha to see a Jewish people back to her homeland. Says the Rav, we must not forget, even for a moment, that the land of Israel drew the nations of the world to it. The Christians, the Muslims, it draws the nations of the world, says Rav Soloveitchik, like a magnet to the land. The medieval crusades were undertaken for the purpose of conquering the land of Israel and colonizing it with a Christian population. All the efforts of the crusades, says the Rav, were in vain, and they did not take root in the land. Even the Muslims, who were already in the land, did not succeed in colonizing it properly. Says the Rav, Vashamamu Allah Oyvechem Hayoshvim Ba. Those who exile the Jewish people, Al Naros Bava Al Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachin Bezachreinu Etzion. Chapter 137, Kuf. Those who exile the Jewish people and replace them as residents of Eretz Israel will reside in a desolate land. They will starve because the land will not give of itself to them. Our enemies drove our ancestors out of Jerusalem. They set fire. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But they never colonized it. They were never able to populate the land. Har Tzion was desolate for a very long time. And despite many attempts, not a single nation, not one other people ever succeeded in establishing a successful state in Eretz Yisrael. Many people were eager. Many people tried to colonize the land. It is a land considered holy by the Muslims and by the Christians. It was occupied by many powers, by the Romans, by the Byzantines, by the Muslims, by the Crusaders, by the Muslims again. Eretz Yisrael changed hands so many times, but no one was able to develop Eretz Yisrael agriculturally, industrially, or scientifically. And then, in the 18th and the beginning of the 19th centuries, entire continents, huge stretches of land like Australia, New Zealand, South Africa were colonized and settled by the British. The British were able to take the desert country, the jungle. They were able to convert it into blossoming gardens. The British brought civilization to the pagans. But the same British who successfully colonized Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, could not colonize Eretz Israel. Eretz Yisrael, says the Rav, is a special land. It is an Eretz Chemda. We say in Birkas HaMazon, Eretz Chemda, Tovu Rechava. What is Chemda? Chamud. Eze Chamudiyat. How sweet are you? It is a beloved land. It speaks to you. With the exception of a small colony here and there, says the Rav, no one was able to colonize Eretz Yisrael on a grand scale. Eretz Yisrael remained a desolate land. And I ask you, when you're Zocha to walk in Eretz Yisrael, do you feel the same? As when you're in Chutz Arts, do your tefillos feel the same? Does your heart feel the same? Do your limbs and your mind feel the same? Because, says the Ramban, there's a direct connection in Eretz Yisrael between the people and the Ribono Shel Olam, and not so in Chutz Arts. Contrast this, says Rav Soloveitchik, to the flourishing yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. It is a very young yeshuv. It is only in existence since the turn of the 20th century. It doesn't mean when the state officially was established in 1948, of course, but when the first olim, the wave of immigrants came from Europe. Since the turn of the 20th century, and yet, see what its members have accomplished. Apparently, there is a sense of loyalty on the part of the land. Eretz Yisrael will never betray her people. She will never give herself up to strangers or conquerors. She will save herself only for the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belongs. I just thought of something I never thought of before. I've taught this piece of the Rav before. Like I said last week about Bereishis and the Rav, this is one of my favorite pieces of the Rav. I just thought of something very interesting. In Achrei Mos, where I began Shir, it's talking about the forbidden arayos, forbidden sexual relationships between people who are not allowed to be together. In fact, we read this as Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur. And then we come to the end of the Perek Yedches, and the Pasuk tells us, just bear with me, I'm thinking through a thought here, and the Pasuk tells us, if you engage in these forbidden relationships, Eretz Yisrael will vomit you out. The land will become defiled, and she will actually spit you out. And the Ramban says, the connection between us and God and Eretz Yisrael is different than the connection between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam when we are in Chutzart. And now we just read a piece by Rav Soloveitchik, and he ends by saying, there's a sense of loyalty on the part of the land. She will never betray her people. She will not give herself up to strangers or conquerors. She will save herself only for the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belongs. So I think there's another connection here. Eretz Yisrael is a land that is alive. And what does this have to do with Arayos? Are Arayos a mitzvah klius baritz? No. But just like we learn, oh, I just thought of something geschmack. I think Baruch Bokeach Ivrim. My mother told me not to go back and forth. I don't know if she's learned that day, but she said you come too close to the screen, so I appreciate it. But I just thought of something. I'm going to try and sit still. Just like Arayos involves commitment between two people who are supposed to be together and not betraying those people by being with somebody else, so too we learn from there. This is the relationship between us and Eretz Yisrael. We must remain committed to Eretz Yisrael and not betray her through a sense of proverbially Arayos by making other lands our homeland. By not thinking that other places are the golden in Medina, Eretz Yisrael reserves herself for us, and we must reserve ourselves for Eretz Yisrael. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I know you're not with me, but does it make sense what I'm saying? We learn about the commitment of Eretz Yisrael from the passage of Arayos. What does Arayos have to do with Eretz Yisrael? The Ramban even says it's not a mitzvah tuya ba'aretz. Arayos is not a mitzvah tuya ba'aretz. He says it's a mitzvah tuya beguf. It's body-oriented mitzvah, not land-based mitzvah. So what does Arayos have to do with Eretz Yisrael? So he says because the connection between God and Eretz Yisrael is different than the connection between all other lands. But based on this piece by Rav Soloveitchik, where he speaks about the fact that the enemies will not find contentment in the land because Eretz Yisrael is a loyal land, she will remain committed to the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belongs. I think we could answer another question. Just like in Arayos, or I should say not doing Arayos, you remain loyal and committed to the person to whom you belong, so too we learn from there that us and Eretz Yisrael are a very real relationship. We must remain committed, and she will remain committed to us, the land to whom the people belongs. I hope it makes sense. I know I'm not with you, but I hope that that makes sense. Moving on. I said that I want to tie this all into Rabbi Akiva. I mentioned last week that I want to spend the next few weeks talking about Rabbi Akiva. 1 minute, please. 1 second. Arye, I have 10 more minutes. Could you please not do this now? I'll do it in the other room. Okay, sorry. We're all home. We all have to share our house pieces. So I said that I want to mention that I want to tie this into Rabbi Akiva. Okay. There will be no public celebrations this year. We all have an obligation to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for the gift of walking as a free people in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, this is not the ultimate geula. It's not the ultimate redemption. We still daven every day for the ultimate geula of Bias Kol Tzedek. I want to take you to the end of Maseches Makos. Rabbi Akiva himself witnessed so much churba, not only in his personal life, as we spoke about last week, but in his national life as well. Rabbi Akiva witnessed churban by Yesheni, the churban where the Romans destroyed the Second Temple and exiled the people. And the Gemara tells us right at the end of Maseches Makos, Makos Chof Dalet, it actually begins Chof Dalet Alf through Chof Dalet Beis. So there's first a story that is less famous than the second Maisa. Okay, so on time, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva were walking on the way. I'm beginning in Makos Chaf Dalet Aleph. V'shamu kol hamono shel Romi mipalata. They heard the sound of the Roman crowds in the plaza of Rome. There's many ways to understand exactly what this means, but for lack of time, I cannot give you all the interpretations. But what? The Maharsha explains the sound of the crowns of Rome is an allusion to the aura of victory and success under which the Roman citizenry lived in security and serenity. So when the Gemara says, "Vishamu kol hamono shel Romi mipalata," they heard the sound of the Roman crowds in the plaza of Rome. Again, there are many interpretations exactly what this means, but according to the Maharsha, they heard the success. They saw the tranquility, the success with which the Romans were living while Eretz Yisrael had been destroyed and the people had been exiled. They were 120 mil away. V'hitchil bochin. They began to cry. Rabbi Akiva misachik. Rabbi Akiva was smiling. Amrlo. So they said to him, "Mipnei atam misachik." His colleague says, "Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing?" So he said to them, "Why are you crying?" So they answered him, "Halalu kushim. These heathens, shemishtachvim la'atzabim, umekatim la'avodas kochavim, yoshvim betach v'hashkei." These heathens who bow down to idols and they offer sacrifices to idolatry and they live in serenity and calm, the Roman destroyers. But anu beis hadom raglei elokeinu saruf, and us, the house of the footstool of our God has been burned by ash and fire, v'lo nivka, when we are zorcha that Eretz Yisrael and the whole world opens up again. It's kedai to take a trip to the burnt house if you have not been. The burnt house is a very small museum right before you begin the descent of the stairs after the rova, when you're walking down towards the stairs to take you down to the Kosel. The burnt house is a house where you can see the actual destruction from when the Romans burnt the Beis HaMikdash. Unbelievable. And they burnt Yerushalayim. It was a house of Kohanim. Fascinating excavation. If you have not been, highly recommend. So they're walking. And they see that the Romans are enjoying serenity and calm and success. And us, the house of our God, has been burnt in fire. Shall we not weep? Continues the Gemara Makos Chaf Dalet Beis. So Rabbi Kiva said, "Lakachani mitzachek." That's why I'm laughing. Umala ol de ritzono kach lo se ritzono achas kama v'kama. If that is the punishment for those who transgress God's word, how much more so will be the reward for those who keep God's word? So Rabbi Kiva saw in here chizuk. If that is the reward for those who are sinners and idol worshippers, how much more so will be the reward for those who are of the Torah and of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now we come to the more famous story. So that's the first Maisa that the Gemara tells us. So that's Makos Chaf Dalet Aleph. Then the Gemara ends with the following. This Masechta ends with the following. And this is more famous. I'm sure that you are familiar with this Maisa as related by the Gemara. Shuv Pam Achas, on another occasion. So that's the first story. Hayu Olin LeYerushalayim. These four sages of the previous story were going up to Yerushalayim. Who are they? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshuva, and Rabbi Akiva. So they come to Artsofim, which is translated as Mount Scopus, and they tear a kriya. So they come to Har Tzofim, and as soon as they look down onto Har Abayis, they tear a kriya. Still today, you look down onto Har Abayis, you need to tear a kriya. And then you keep walking from Har Tzofim, and they come to the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They look down into Har Abayis, and they see that there are foxes prowling. Soloveitchik says in a totally different piece in the book, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways." When a place is desolate of human beings, it's one thing, but when it's desolate of humanity and inhabited by wild animals, it's even worse. B'shamu anias ha'aretz, the land remained desolate for so long, not only of people, but animals prowled there. And these four sages saw foxes, a fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hitchilu heim bochin, Rabbi Kiva, mitzachik. They begin to cry. His colleagues are crying once again, and he's laughing. Amrlo, they said to him, "Mipnei ma ata mitzachik." So they said, "Why are you laughing?" Amar lahem, "Mipnei ma ata bochim." So he said, "Why are you crying?" Amrlo, makom shakasu bo v'azar karav yumas, v'achshav shualim hilchu bo lo nevkeh. Azar karav yumas. No one's allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Oh, Parshas Achrimos is also the Yom Kippur avodah. Okay, so Azar Karav Yumas. No one's allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A stranger can't enter. Now we see a fox is prowling over the place of Tzimtzum where the Shechina was mitzamtzem and dwelled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now there's a fox trampling there. We shouldn't cry. So Rabbi Akiva said, "Makachani mitzachik." You know what? That's why I'm laughing. And he quoted two prophecies. The first prophecy says, Va'ardi li edim ne'amanim es Ur Yaakov ve'Zecharia ben Yivarchayu. I will call for witnesses, Uriah and Zechariah. So the Gemara says, what does Uriah have to do with Zechariah? Uriah b'mikdash rishon, Zechariah b'mikdash sheni. Uriah was a prophet who prophesied about the first temple, and Zechariah had nevuah regarding churban bayis sheni. So what does one have to do with the other? Chronologically, you can't talk about churban bayis sheni by Rome and churban bayis rishon hundreds of years earlier by Babel, Nebuchadnezzar, in the same sentence. What are you saying? It doesn't go in the same sentence. You can't say, I went for a walk with someone who lived 500 years ago. It makes no sense. No, so Rabbi Akiva said, Tala ha-kasuf nuvuaso shel Zechariah ben nuvuaso shel Uriah. No, the Torah makes contingent the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah by Yesheni upon the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah by Yisrishon. What was the prophecy of Uriah? B'Uriah k'siv lachem b'glachem Tzion sada secharesh. That Tzion, Zion, will be plowed like a field. If Zion is plowed like a field, you expect to see foxes walking there. So Rabbi Akiva is saying, I just saw the prophecy from Bayis Rishon come to fulfillment, come to fruition. The Navi says that Zion will be plowed like a field. If it's plowed like a field, you expect to see foxes walking there. Now that I saw the prophecy of foxes walking there come true, Bizchariah Ksiv, by Zchariah it says, O Yeshu Zkeni Muskenos, Brachovus Yerushalayim. Once again, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I know there is Churban, but there will be, I promise you, says Hashem, old men and old women sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. What does the Pasuk say in Zechariah? I'm going to Zechariah now, Perachas. The Gemara just quotes a small excerpt of that Nevuah. But in Perachas of Zechariah, Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says, Ko Amar Hashem, Shafti al Tzion. God says, I will return to Tzion. V'shachanti b'soch Yerushalayim. Hashem says, it's such a long galus, ladies. It's a painful galus. Today we still see foxes will prowl there. We have not been zochah to the ultimate geula ha'asida. Baruch Hashem, we have an Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, we have a Medina Yisrael. Those are not the same things. But this is not the ultimate geula. Full of pain. I don't know if anybody saw Rina Schnerb, who was murdered this past summer in a terror attack. Beautiful 13-year-old girl. Her parents just had a baby girl, Baruch Hashem. This is not the ultimate geula. But the Ribbono Shel Olam promises that just like foxes prowl there, one day there will be binyan, there will be redemption. Ko amar Hashem shafti al tzion v'shachanti b'soch Yerushalayim. I will return there, says God. V'nikra Yerushalayim ir ha'ames v'har Hashem tzvakos har kodesh. Ko amar Hashem tzvakos od yeshvuz kein muskenos birchavos Yerushalayim. Once again, in Zechariah, beginning of Perachas, old men and old women will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. V'ish mishanto b'yado meirov yamim. And an old man with his staff in his hand, coming on in years, urechovos hayir yemalu yiladim viyulados, and the streets of the city will be filled with little girls and little boys, misachakim, who will be playing. Urechovos, I just thought of something else. Rabbi Akiva was misachik and mitzachik based on the prophecy that children would be misachakim. Rabbi Akiva says, I laugh because in the future I know that those little children will laugh in the streets. So Rabbi Akiva said, when I didn't see the prophecy of Uriah come to fruition, that foxes will prowl there, I wasn't sure if the prophecy of Zechariah, that once again the streets will be full of people, will come to fruition. But now that I see with my own eyes that the prophecy of Churban has come to fruition, Zion was plowed like a field, and foxes walk in a field, and I see with my own eyes the promise of God that the Zion, Har Zion, Shashamim, Shualim Hilchuba has come true. Biadua. I know with absolute certainty, Shenevu Asosha Zechariah Miskayemes, the prophecy of Zechariah. Od Yeshu Zkein Muskenos Berchovos Yerushalayim V'ish Mishanto B'yado Yeladim V'yelados Misachakim Berchovos Seha. This will come true. B'lashon Hazeh Amrulo Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. Akiva, you have comforted us. Akiva, you have comforted us. You have comforted us. You have comforted us. The torch lighters, when they light the torch on Har Herzl, they say, L'tif'aret Medinat Yisrael, to the glory of Medinat Yisrael. We give thanks to Ribbono Shel Olam every day for the gift, for our connection to him everywhere, specifically in Eretz Yisrael. She's a land like no other land. And yet this is not the ultimate nevuah. This is not the ultimate fulfillment. When we can walk in peace, when we can walk in tranquility, the ultimate geula ha'asida, we will finally be zocha to the vision that Rabbi Akiva beheld. Rabbi Akiva is the rabbi of Churban, but time and again who teaches us about binyan, whether in his personal life or in his national life. He continued to believe in himself, and he always believed in the Ribono Shel Olam. Now that I see the prophecy of destruction, and boy, have we seen the prophecy of destruction, as equals Yom HaShoah, Rabbi Akiva says we can rest assured that the prophecy of binyan will also come true. B'lashon hazeh amrlo, Akiva nechamtanu, Akiva nechamtanu. Shabbi zocha, if this is the etchalta de geula, to see the geula ha'asida, b'mehir b'yameinu. I thank you all for learning with me. Let's take continued chizak from Rabbi Akiva as we continue to go through this difficult time. We should have a week of besoros tovos and yeshuos, kol tov, and thank you so much for joining me.